Hi, my name is Charles Ying. I'm a developer at a small company in Palo Alto called Flipboard. Flipboard is your personal social magazine. And here's a picture of it. My slides work. Here's Flipboard. It's available for your iPad and iPhone, and it's a free download. And what Flipboard is it takes your Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google Reader, 500 pics, all your social streams, and turns them into beautiful magazine layouts like this. Here it is for iPhone. And I'm going to talk a little bit about how we built Flipboard and talk a little bit about the technology behind it. So thinking about Flipboard is sort of, the way we think about it is that we're looking at the web, here's a web page, and we're thinking about how to reimagine it. What if we took away the web and reinvented it? What would we do if we started over? And what we at Flipboard think is that we would take a web page like this and turn it into something like this. So it's taking the web and beautifying it into beautiful layout magazines and pages. And to talk a little bit about the technology, Flipboard is a hybrid application. And what does that mean? Well, in the spectrum of app development on mobile devices, you have, on one end, you have web applications, and on the other end, you have native applications. A hybrid app is sort of a mix of the two. It combines both elements of web apps and native apps together. And it's becoming a more popular architecture among the latest mobile apps. And I'm going to talk about how you would put one of these together and what to watch out for. So there are different kinds of these hybrid apps. I'm going to touch on a few of them, but we're really going to concentrate on a small segment. You have simple wrappers around web apps, so you basically take a website and you put an app wrapper around it and place it in the App Store or in the Android market. You have hybrid apps which have a web UI, but they have access to parts of the native device, things like the camera or the microphone or security. And then you have more advanced hybrid applications that are more native than web, where the core logic or the brains behind the application is done in JavaScript, but the platform itself is done fully native. And a lot of games are done on mobile like this. So we're going to talk today about the latter two pieces. And so what you want to do is take the best parts of the web and native and combine them together. The web has things like rapid development, instant update, it's easy to develop, there's garbage collection, there's syntax, there's jQuery, there's all these fun things. On the native side, you also have great things. You can get high performance, you can have a fully native user experience, and you can use lots of cool graphics and animation. At a high level, the way to start thinking about this is to use the best qualities of each technology. So use the best parts of the web and the best parts of native when you're combining them together. And corollary to that, and something I see very often, is that a lot of apps I see try to emulate native UI. You don't want to do that because emulating native UI is a really hard thing to do and very hard to get right. Apps that are done this way end up being laggy, or they don't look quite right, or they don't quite feel right. And ironically, this is a picture of Sencha Touch, which is a fantastic mobile web app framework. But those guys are insanely smart, and I personally wouldn't try to attempt what they do when they emulate native UI in a mobile browser. So With the web, you want to put the parts of your app that are document-oriented or have document-oriented UI, where your presentation or layout varies greatly. Rapidly updated parts should be on the website, and things that are cross-platform. If you're developing a cross-platform application, you want to put those parts in the part of your app that's going to be cross-platform. On the native side, you want to put your native UI. Anything that you want to feel like it's fast, it's responsive, it has animation, it looks like the rest of the operating system on the phone, you want it to be native. Things that are performance critical, you definitely want those to be in native code. And anything that's hardware intensive, things like image filtering or security, doing cryptography, those things you want to do natively. And then also, a lot of graphics effects and animation are done natively. So, diving down a little bit on how do you take... Okay, so now you have different parts of your apps separated into web and native. How do you bring them together? Well, one of the most common ways on iOS is to use a UI web view. And what happens is your web code is done in JavaScript, and whenever you want to make a call into your native code, you encode a URL, pass some parameters down, and then send it across the wire to the native side. And then when the native code wants to call back into JavaScript, usually you just encode things into a string and then execute JavaScript in your JavaScript UI web view. That's the basics of doing bridging in a UI web view. There are some more advanced things you can do, like when you want to have lots of requests queued up, you want them to happen in order, you can create a request queue. And sometimes when you're passing more data or you want to do things slightly faster, some people store the data that they're going to pass to the native side in a JavaScript global, signal the native side, then the native side comes back and pulls the data out. And this is sufficient for most applications. But if you're building a high-performance application, you may need something more. Like if you're building a game or something very heavy, graphics intensive, you may want to do something more advanced. And a lot of games do this route where they take the JavaScript core from WebKit, which is the JavaScript interpreter, and they custom compile it and then create direct bindings to the native side for what they need. And the benefits of this are that it's high performance, you get direct access to JavaScript objects, so you could create more native bindings that feel more synchronous. And again, this is most ideal for games. Some applications do like to use this. Now, a few tips on when you're writing bridges. You want to keep your integration points simple and loosely coupled, because these bridges can have a performance impact. You want to do these operations when you're not doing anything performance critical. Also, you're going to be versioning and updating your web part of your application. You want to be able to have good solid versioning between your native side and your website. So if you're updating the code from your server, you want to be able to have to know which version of your app is on the device, because you may have different applications on different platforms. And one of the easiest ways to handle all this, instead of having several versions and checking for version numbers, is to have feature flags where you're setting a flag based on whether a feature is available in your native client or not. And we do this at Flipboard. And then just talking about making your bridge, not making calls across your bridge in performance critical situations. And this leads into a more general mobile app development guideline, which is to profile before you optimize. What you don't want to do is, mobile apps are very performance sensitive, and much more so than on the desktop. And so the best way I've found over the years is that if you profile your code and measure what's actually slow, when you go to optimize it, you have a good chance of making it speed up and in dramatic ways. The second benefit of that is that your applications are simpler. When you optimize code, it usually gets more complicated. And so you only want to do that in situations where it actually counts. Also, mobile app development is deeply personal. These computing devices are personal computers in the truest sense. And so you want to be responsive, be very responsive to the user. It matters so much more on your mobile phone when you're trying to catch a taxi or if you're trying to find the nearest restaurant or if you're trying to find a drugstore to have very responsive UI. And then one of the third things is these devices have batteries, which don't last very long. And so just like when you're profiling, try to keep the things that you do simple. So if you're doing something that seems complicated in a web, in your web code, perhaps move it into native side and save power on the device. Things in JavaScript take a lot more power for the mobile phone to execute. So do fewer, simpler things. I'll talk a little bit about working with the website. When we develop hybrid apps at Flipboard, we found that debugging this environment is extremely difficult. So what we built is a simulated environment for debugging just the web parts of the code. Whenever you see a hotspot, move it into native code. Things like cryptography or security or things like interpolating values are great to put in the native side. Also, take a look at what your JavaScript libraries are doing. One of the first things we did when we built Flipboard pages inside Flipboard is we noticed we were using jQuery, and we realized that jQuery is a lot of bits and pieces that were IE optimized and were slowing down our application. So we went and we went straight down to plain old JavaScript and found that things sped up greatly and immensely. And then heading towards the graphics front, consider what the browser has to draw and composite on screen. The browser actually has to do all the things that you're specifying in CSS. So if you're saying, do this insane shadow with 14 layers of transparency, think about what the browser has to do. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in the graphics section. And then bugs. These mobile browsers, they're pretty great. They're much better than the old browsers back in a decade ago, but they still have a lot of bugs. You're going to see things like a few memory leaks. Memory usage is going to be higher than a native app. And you can see threading bugs and rendering bugs. Text may disappear. It's gotten really good, but if you're on a older version of WebKit, for example, you'll see a lot of these types of bugs. So mobile graphics is something that I spend a lot of time on. And the bar that really connects with the user for building these sort of touch-style UIs is you want to aim for high frame rates. We're talking 60 frames a second. If you look at Flipboard, it actually is, for the most part, 60 frames a second throughout the entire application. And we have worked very hard to make it this way. And it gives you a very a direct connection with the application. And the way you do this on mobile devices is to lean on the GPU. The GPU, you want to accelerate parts of your application that are doing animation or effects on the GPU. And this is the key to getting those 60 frames a second in your UI and your animations. And the way to do this on the website, and I'll show some examples, is to use CSS animation and transitions. But watch your graphics memory use. As soon as you put a element in your web code into CSS transitions, you'll find that it starts to use a lot more memory. So watch out for that. In older versions of iOS, that memory limit was about 10 megabytes. So your application may or may not use that many elements, but watch out when you're using a lot of them. Also, things like shadows and gradients tend to be slower on mobile devices. They take the CPU to render and draw them. They're calculating each band of the colors as you're going through. And those are done on the CPU. In the most modern, most recent versions of iOS and Android, those operations are more hardware accelerated. But those devices still are not widely spread yet. I think hardware acceleration on drawing on Android only happened in Ice Cream Sandwich, which is on a couple percent of the devices out there now. And then going back to what I talked about earlier, compositing and overdraw, it's really important to consider how many times you are blending your different layers when you're compositing different things in your UI. If you're having a lot of blended layers that could be collapsed together, try to do that. If you have anything that's transparent, try to make it opaque. So if you have a button that has a transparent background and you have a white background, you might consider making that button pre-composited in Photoshop and using those elements, because opaque elements are a lot faster than transparent ones. So I've talked, all the things I've touched on have much deeper and darker rabbit holes to go down in terms of the details. But coming back up, there is things that can be used to help you. Some of the existing frameworks that are out there in the different flavors that I talked about are things like PhoneGap and Trigger.io, AppCelerator. Those are more application frameworks, where the difference between PhoneGap and AppCelerator is that AppCelerator binds native UI to a custom JavaScript core, and so you can get a more you're actually using native components, whereas PhoneGap is more cross-platform and more widely spread on more devices. And then if you're going into gaming, you can get lots of flavors of gaming engines where you have a custom JavaScript core and bindings to OpenGL where you have a hardware-accelerated canvas. And so you can do your development on the desktop in HTML5 and then bring it over to a mobile device. It's all hardware-accelerated, runs at 60 frames a second. And three of them here are Spaceport, ImpactJS, and Cocoon.js. And there are a lot more, but these are some of the major ones. So talking about a few examples. So Flipboard, as you know, is an app for iPad and iOS. What we have within the Flipboard application is a platform called Flipboard Pages. And it's a publishing platform where partners can take their web pages and then turn those web pages into magazine articles that are paginated. And here are a couple examples. Here's Oprah on the left and National Geographic on the right. And these are all done by a website JavaScript layout engine. And so all that work to do the layout and all the typography that you see here is all done in web code. It's not done natively. Here's another example of Elle Magazine, where we support both orientations of iPad and iPhone. iPad, portrait and landscape. And you see here that the engine's laying out the same article in portrait and landscape. And the same engine will lay it out on the iPhone as well. And we have a very varied layout for Flipboard pages. Each magazine publisher has their own layout, their own set of fonts, their own typography and presentation styles and layout. And so making those all work together would take us quite a while in native code, but are done using JavaScript pretty easily here. Here's an example of CSS effects. This is CSS animation transforms. This is running on an iPhone 3GS. At 60 frames a second, and I took a live video of this so that you can see what regular video can't capture, which is that 60 frames a second. You can see the motion blur. If you actually see it on a real device, it feels really, really smooth. Some work that I did prior to Flipboard is work we did at Sony. And at Sony, we did something where we took the JavaScript core and bound it to a PlayStation 3 specific scene graph. And here's an example of the PlayStation video store running at 60 frames a second. And this is on a 1080p HDTV, so there's a lot of pixels being pushed here. In addition, the graphics requirements from the design side were extremely high. And we built this, the core prototype for this, in 6 weeks. We had one Flash designer who had done a port of this UI in Flash, and we ported that to the PlayStation with the runtime in 6 weeks. And he was the one who did all the UI, which is another advantage to these types of approaches, where the designers can focus on the design and then, but not know anything about the insane 8-cell processors and DSP and the GPU all talking together in the PlayStation, which is the only way you can get good performance out of a PlayStation. This is a Flipboard for iPad. And this video I'm showing you is walking through the native and web bridges. So you can see here, this article is rendering the layout for the magazine article, but all the flipping is done natively. And so you get a very native-like experience, but still having all the power of a web application. So in summary, use the best qualities of each technology. Bridge your web and native code with simple, loosely coupled, and versioned APIs. Profile first and be responsive in your UI. And this helps you save power as well. Try to keep your app simple. Consider what your code, your libraries, and your browser are doing. Use hardware acceleration where you can. And this is a question I get asked a lot about Flipboard. Is it a web app or a native app? What's going on here? And it's actually a great user experience. So, thank you. I can't do a 40-minute presentation, so there's time for questions. Yes?
What do you see are the weaknesses of responsive design as a solution for porting from web to mobile?
I'm sorry, say that again?
What do you see as weaknesses to using responsive design instead of building apps for porting web content over to mobile?
Okay, so the question is, what are the weaknesses in using responsive design instead of porting web apps to mobile? And unfortunately, the answer is it depends on the situation. Responsive design gives you a lot of flexibility. A web app itself has great distribution. You don't have to go to an app store and download an app. You can share links, and they're instantly usable. And responsive design helps you scale down your desktop app to a mobile device. But the state of the art today is that mobile is first. So if you're building a new web app from scratch and you do it for mobile first, responsive design is great for scaling it up to the desktop. But for me personally, as someone who cares a lot about user experience, if you're trying to move a desktop app down to mobile, it's really difficult. And I mean, at Flipboard, we spent a year just porting our UI from iPad to iPhone and considering that design experience, and it was very difficult for us. And so a responsive design where you're just scaling down the same app from desktop to mobile, it's challenging. And so those are some of the weaknesses. You're not designing for mobile first, which is one of the key cornerstones to mobile design.
Okay.
Oh, the mic works. The mic.
So you talked about trying to optimize and get, you know, tuned for performance, looking at overdraw and blending problems. What kinds of tools did you use to debug your graphics problems and optimize?
So the question is, talking about compositing and overdraw, in each situation, we unfortunately had to hand roll a lot of our components. On iOS, it's a little bit easier because you can have access to the simulator and it can show you what's going on. You can see misaligned images, you can see where things are being composited, and you can see transparent areas. The simulator shows you a lot of those things. But at Sony, we didn't have any of those tools. We had to build those all from scratch. And we ended up doing what graphics programmers do. We build debugging code that shows off markers and shows where these compositing areas are happening. And that's the unfortunate reality of graphics.
What sort of optimizations were required for that CSS effects demo? You had the cover flow demo that you had running on 3GS. I mean, what was required to get that to run up at that kind of frame rate on that platform? And was that just pure CSS, or did you have other stuff going on in there too?
No, that's CSS and JavaScript working together. It's pretty basic. CSS effects gets you a lot of the way there. The key part to that demo is that all the animation, including the inertial scrolling, is all done with keyframes, so that as you're animating the path, we set a Bezier easing function to say ease out in a more gradual scrolling kind of fashion. And we never do any of the animation in JavaScript. So it's all computed by calculating a Bezier curve to calculate where that positioning is going. But essentially, the other part of it is try to avoid DOM updates when you're doing a lot of these animations. They sort of cause little hiccups. And when you're doing things at 60 frames a second, those hiccups are noticeable. If you're doing everything with JavaScript, those DOM updates are happening on every frame, so you never notice it because everything's laggy. So... Unfortunately, one of the best resources I've found, there aren't any great single places to get all this information, but the Essentia guys actually do keep up to date and will benchmark a lot of the latest browsers, and they keep apprised. They're very sensitive to hardware acceleration and browser bugs, so they're a good group of folks to follow. Unfortunately, this space is highly... someone's pointing at someone who's here. Unfortunately, a lot of this is still new and highly evangelized. So hardware acceleration is being used as an evangelism point across the different browser vendors. So there's a little bit of misdirection in marketing. But if you talk to a more independent app developer or framework developer like Essentia, they can give you a more accurate picture of what's going on. And it is changing constantly. I wish there was a great single place to find these resources, but even yesterday I was pointed at another almost essay about different tricks and best practices, and so there's always new stuff coming out all the time.
Yep, so thanks for the talk. So you've talked a lot about the benefits of combining web and native code. Could you speak about when you would not do this? So what are some, what are the checklists that you say, you know, you go through and say that, oh, this app will not be suitable for a hybrid approach?
I wish I had that checklist. I would say there are certain, if you look at the capabilities that your app needs to have first, that probably helps you rule out certain things. So, for example, if you have to have an app that is really, really easy to share, for example, it needs to be more like a web app, because as a native app, you have to go to the App Store and download it, and it's a key limitation to native apps. In terms of what we do at Flipboard, all the Flipboard pages work that we did started off as web code, because we were trying to do the simplest thing first. And then as we discovered performance bottlenecks, we started moving things around and moved things into native code as we went. And so my advice to you is, whatever you're trying to do, try to do it in the simplest way possible first, and then see where things are breaking down and optimize it. And you might find that your entire app can function as a web app, as a pure web app. I hate to be a. Whenever I go to WWDC, I get infuriated when the speakers say this, which is, we cannot comment on future products and features.
Yeah. So, two questions. One is, how do you measure the frame rate that you're talking about in both native and HTML rendering scenarios? And two, just generally, obviously everything you've talked about is, it's hybrid, but it's iOS right now. So can you speak to the Android and other platform hybrid experience?
Okay, so your first question is about measuring frame rate. When there are tools available, we use them. Again, back to the other gentleman's point about graphics, is that oftentimes we have to build our own frame rate counter, and that can be done in JavaScript, and it can cause a hit on your app. But usually those things are hand rolled, unfortunately, because we want to make sure that we're getting the most accurate reading when we're doing things, and sometimes it requires doing things yourself. At Sony, we didn't have any of that stuff. It's all custom. But on iOS, there are frame rate counters in instruments that you can use. And to your second question about hybrid scenarios on Android and other platforms, the Sony example I showed is running on a PlayStation 3 on the Game OS platform. And it actually ended up being a lot better experience for doing hybrid app than iOS is. iOS is actually very unfriendly to that kind of architecture. This kind of bridging can be painful to do sometimes. And on Android, while we don't do Android at Flipboard, there's a lot of open ways to get access to direct JavaScript bindings. I believe WebKit in certain versions has direct JavaScript binding access, and also still has the same bridging model that through URLs, I think with JavaScript prompt for doing that on Android. The thing about Android is that the WebKit versions vary greatly across the different versions, and this infuriated us at Sony. But in the latest versions, and now with Chrome for Android coming, it's going to get a lot better on Android.
Hi. Love hearing about performance analysis. I think performance analysis is hard, and it's also somewhat of an art. And I'm wondering if you have any good suggestions on how to communicate the ramifications of, like, someone who's implementing graphics primitives to the people who are choosing transitions and layouts. And do you have any good suggestions about how those people can communicate the expense of doing different things to the user experience?
I think the most effective way, and one we did at Sony, is to actually build prototypes and show their UI to them running on device as quickly as possible. Our Flash prototype ran on the desktop and immediately exposed all of the bottlenecks that we had to the design team. And that takes care of a lot of that aspect, where you don't want to artificially constrain the designer, but you also want to show them the reality of what's going on in the device. Well, I just got developing for Android at the bookstore yesterday. I can't comment on future products or features.
This is probably the first non-technical question. I work for a FMCG brand, and I just wonder what advice you would give to brands in terms of thinking about how we work with you moving forward.
I'm sorry, say that again.
So I work for a FMCG brand, and I just wonder what advice you would give to brand owners in terms of working with the Flipboard application moving forward. Just what sort of things should we be thinking about in working with you?
I guess this talk is more about hybrid apps. If you have a Flipboard-specific question, that's about the app itself, I'm happy to talk to you about it after the talk.
Yeah. Do you have any recommendations for using vector graphics in the web views versus raster? I know you mentioned pushing that off to the browser and transparent backgrounds. Is there a major difference with that?
Yeah, sorry, I didn't. I used to be on the Scalable Vector Graphics Committee, and images are faster, but they also are bigger. So it's so much faster to render with images than to do it with Scalable Vector Graphics, because the CPU's rendering, rasterizing the paths on most devices today, and all the hardware-accelerated Bezier drawing is all modern and future. That being said, and on top of that, designing, like pixel pushing those buttons, it's really hard to get them, and you generally have to have a lot of vector graphics instructions to achieve that shine with the little blur on the end and that assessive thing that the designers are crazy about. That said, there's a new iPad coming soon, and it has a ginormous screen, so vector graphics are going to get increasingly important.
You talked a little bit about letting designers do the design in your PlayStation example. Can you talk a little bit about, at Flipboard, how design and development work together? What's the workflow like?
At Flipboard, the developers design and the designers code. And so it works pretty well, but that's how we do it at Flipboard.
You talked earlier about not having DOM changes at the same time as animations. Do you generally handle, obviously sometimes you have to change the DOM if you're, doing a page transition, obviously, stuff like that. Do you handle the DOM changes beforehand? And if you do that, how do you make it so the user doesn't experience any sort of delay between all of the, if you have a lot of DOM changes that need to happen between that happening and then the animation taking place without them overlapping, I guess?
So the common tricks that we do is that we do pre-assemble parts of the DOM off screen ahead of time. So essentially, the tricks of doing mobile app development are preloading and showing previews and assembling things ahead of time before and anticipating what the user is going to do next, throwing away what you don't think the user is going to do. Unfortunately, every scenario is different. There's a great Netflix talk about this exact example where they reuse DOM objects and replace elements in order to get a very fast experience on the Netflix web app. That's essentially the strategies that we use. And there's no one single answer to that question.
You've talked about the technical reasons for choosing which bits are web and which bits are native. But how do you kind of take into consideration how users view the difference? Do users prefer a native app, like with iOS? Would they sometimes prefer to install something from the App Store than just have a web app, which they're not quite sure how to use? And how does that influence your decision?
I'm sorry, I couldn't understand that. Could you
cool. That? So do you think users prefer, in some cases, would prefer to have a native app rather than just use it in the browser, like particularly in iOS? So if you were to do Flipboard as purely as just as a web thing? Like, how would you, what would influence your decision between making it native versus just a pure web app from the user's point of view?
So the question is about if we were to build Flipboard as a web app instead of a native app, what would we do differently in terms of considerations? The thing is that fundamentally a pure browser-based web app is a different user experience, and so we would start with that process. I know it's kind of a weaseling answer to that question. It's really not. It's that we would start by looking at the browser, that whole user experience, to start with, and then see what Flipboard would look like in that environment. And that's what we did on iPhone.
So I'm curious. Can you hear me? I'm curious to ask you. I'm an application developer. We actually built a magazine application entirely native. And so I'm wondering, you know, you say there's a lot of benefits to having this hybrid approach. What would you say are the biggest benefits? It seems like you're jumping through a lot of hoops to tackle performance and tackle the bridge and kind of the binding. You know, what's the biggest thing? Because we built a magazine app. We did it all native. You know, what was the advantage you found?
The question is, in building a magazine app that was all native, what are the advantages to having a hybrid approach? If you can do your app native, and that's easiest for your team, that's a very good solution. There's no like dogma about having to build hybrid apps. It's all in service of the user experience. But for us, we had the approach of wanting to work with a lot of publishers. We have 60 publishers. And so building a native engine that would render all their magazine layouts is challenging to us. We have a small team. We didn't want to go and build that for ourselves. And so HTML presented itself as a very natural way to do that. And so we started down that path. I would say if you have a single magazine or if you have a very constrained set of requirements, then a native app could be very good. It gives you great performance. But for us, this approach worked best for our constraints.
Do you have any thoughts on bridging audio and video in a native web app?
Sorry, say that again?
Do you have any thoughts on bridging audio and video in your apps?
So audios and video is a little bit on the buggier front on iOS WebKit. Things like if you detach a video from the active DOM, it stops playing and goes black on iOS 4.0. And so there are a lot of, and the browser will memory leak the video element in certain cases. So we found that doing things natively works great. But there are cases where you want to have more control over a video, like having DRM or things like that, and then that's when it's good to have it in a web view. Flipboard uses a web view for showing video.
Thanks.
Yes, hi. In a hybrid app, what's a good strategy for testing?
For testing?
For testing.
I mentioned briefly that we use a HTML-only simulated environment for our web code. We use a HTML-only testing framework as well, a unit testing framework, to do our testing of those components. So that's, for our specific purpose, we use QUnit for that stuff, but it's really about your specific case. There may be things that you need to test on the native side, and so separating the two and having unit tests for both components works pretty well for us.
So when you introduced native rendering, like the page flipping and things like that, did you find that introduced rendering problems, like failure, like incorrect rendering or poor rendering? And then how did you deal with those kinds of problems?
When we introduced native rendering of the web parts, we did encounter a few things where the pages weren't, they, the the WebKit browser said that everything had loaded and everything was rendered, but it really wasn't. So I would see portions of the app that had not been, of the web page that had not been rendered. Those are some of the primary problems with blending the two from a graphics perspective. There isn't any really good solution for that. I mean, web fonts still load in blank before the font is showing on screen. And you can't load the web font until you actually put it into your page or put something off screen. So there's a lot of challenges there, and we work through them with delay loops and additional callbacks, but your mileage may vary.
How large is your development team?
I don't know. I haven't counted in a while. I would say Flipboard is about at least more than two. I would say that. No, we have a very, very good team of about 20 brilliant engineers who all work on this stuff. And it's a blend of front-end, web, and back-end, and designers who do all these design work as well.
As a follow-up on that question, do your developers tend to be more hybrid developers where they know the native native code and web code, or do you tend to specialize?
We're a small startup, and so a lot of our developers know bits and pieces of everything. And so, that's essential for us to survive. All right, thank you.